To be involved in the trenches of ministry this week, day after day, as we started in Kansas City, we've come all the way here, almost close back to Watertown, Wisconsin once again, and we have crossed a lot of many miles and been in a lot of places. And Pastor, we have had a lot of pizza. Thank you very much for pizza again tonight. We appreciate that. Well, we were told that right here in Roscoe, this is a special kind of pizza. And I will tell you, that was the best we've had, I think. The best we've had the entire time. And we are so thankful for your hospitality to us. And I am so thankful tonight to just briefly share a truth from the Word of God. And sincerely tonight, I really believe this is the excitement of Maranatha Baptist University. And that is this question. What will they be? What will you be? What will I be? Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Isn't it amazing that we all have incredible potential? I remember many times walking out of a service and some lady would come up to me, usually an elderly lady would come up to me, especially when I was early on in ministry, and she would say, you know what, someday you're going to be a really good preacher. And I would think to myself, well, I hope I'm a good one now. What she was saying was, you have really good potential. And you know what, that's the truth. What will you be? Do you realize, folks, tonight we won't be anything without Jesus? And so this text of Scripture in Romans chapter 12 is very familiar. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This text really does show us amazing potential, amazing possibilities that we have with Jesus. You see, with Jesus we can do and be everything, but without Jesus we can do nothing. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ. It's not our own power, it's not our own strength, it's the power of Christ in us. But Jesus also said, for without me you can do nothing. So the question tonight is answered simply, what will we be? We'll be nothing without Jesus. We can do a lot of things and be everything with Jesus. This text shows us some things that we can be. First of all, we can be, through the power of Jesus, we can be delivered. If you're here tonight and you have never personally received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is the most important message that you've heard us sing about. This is the most important thing I can say to you. Come to Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And in this text, we see it clearly. He says, I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God. This is a clear reference to the mercy of salvation, to the mercy of forgiveness, to the fact that His righteousness can be our righteousness when we believe, our sin placed on Him, His righteousness placed on us. That's incredible mercy. And if you're here tonight and you've never had your sins forgiven by Jesus Christ, the Bible says if you will simply, by faith, repent and believe the gospel, believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, and He did that so that you could be saved. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word saved means to be delivered. Isn't this great potential? This is great possibility. And frankly, if you're here tonight and you've never experienced it, you're missing out on the greatest truth in all the world, the essence of the Christian faith, the reason why this church exists, the reason why Maranatha Baptist University exists, because there is a good God who has sent His Son Jesus to die for us. There is a Redeemer, and His name is Jesus Christ. This is what you can be. If you're trying to get to God on your own strength, in your own power, through religion or righteousness, you will fall short. You will be cast away forever in the lake of fire. You will be doomed forever. But with Jesus, you can be delivered by His mercy. The verse goes on and it tells us something else we can be. Not only can you be, and you will be, through faith and repentance, you can be delivered. But secondly, you can be, very important, dedicated. If you're here tonight and you're already a believer, which I'm assuming many of you, if not the majority, if not all of you, are true believers. I hope so. If you're not, come to Christ. If you are, you need to be dedicated. Look what it says. I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You see, if you are a genuine follower of Jesus, you have this spirit. My life is not my own. For I have been bought with a price. Therefore, I will glorify God in my body and my spirit, which belongs to the Lord. And this is a specific sacrificial decision. And it is all about the way we live. It's all about our lifestyle. It's all about what we do with our bodies. He actually says the word here, that we sacrifice and give our bodies to the Lord, which means everything we do and everything we say and everywhere we go and all the things that we do in life are a way for us to show our surrender, to show our dedication to the Lord. And this is an amazing potential, isn't it? That not only would He save us, but He would take our lives and allow us to be yielded for His service and for His glory. The sacrifice is a holy sacrifice. It's a living sacrifice. It's an acceptable sacrifice, as the verse says, and it is simply logical that if Jesus would give His life for us, that we would give our lives back to Him. Doesn't that seem reasonable? Question tonight, are you a Christian that is living in this potential? Are you a Christian that has been saved and yet you're holding on to your own life? Maybe there are things that are really pushing you away from God and not things that are helping your life. Maybe you're not spending time in His Word. Maybe you're not faithful to your church. Maybe there's really no dedication of life, but you're a Christian, but you're really not yielded. You're really not surrendered. Maybe there's idols in your heart that need to be cast out. Only through Christ can you have a life that is a sacrificial offering, a dedication for the Lord. This is what we can be. What will you be? Delivered, dedicated, and then notice verse 2. He says, and be not conformed to this world. What can we be? What should we be through the power of Christ? Number 3, we need to be different. We need to be different. Folks, that's a good thing. We are God's chosen people. We are to be set apart from the world. There should be a distinction in our lives. And He literally says, do not be conformed. This word conformed is externally looking like the world. It literally has this idea. Don't be poured into the mold of the world. Or maybe I could say it this way. Stop masquerading in the costume of the world. So here's the point. If we are saints, we ought to look like saints. If we are saints, we ought to act like saints and talk like saints, and people ought to know by our living and our lifestyle and the nonconformity to the world, they should recognize there's something different about that person. And He says, don't be conformed to what? The world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Are you aware that pleasure and possessions and popularity are not only problems in the world, they're problems in the church? And it is important that we as Christians oppose those philosophies. When He says don't be conformed to the world, He's not talking about the earth. He's not talking about the globe. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the world system, the world's philosophies. Folks, we're not supposed to live for our pleasure. We're to live for God's pleasure. We're not supposed to live to lay up treasures here or possessions here, materialism. We're to lay up treasures in heaven. We're not supposed to live to make ourselves famous, folks. We shouldn't care about us. We want Jesus to be known so that people see the Lord. You see, this is a radical difference from the world. This is why Paul said we are to be crucified unto the world. This is why the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And you know what? There is no possibility of this ever happening in any of our lives without Christ enabling it. By His grace, through His Spirit, through His Word, empowering our lives, so that we can have a radical distinction in our personal lives, in our marriages, in our families, in our children, and even our college campuses. There should be a radical difference from the ways of the world. This is the potential that we have through Christ. Be delivered. Be dedicated. Be different. Notice the next part of verse 2 where it says, but be ye transformed. This is diligence. Be diligent. He says, be transformed by the renewing of your what? Mind. May I say tonight, there is only one book that can radically transform our thinking. And that's the wonderful Word of God. This is what He's talking about. Getting into the Word of God, renewing our minds through the truth of the Word of God. It's almost as if He's saying this, stop thinking worldly and start thinking biblically. That's a good admonition for us. You believe tonight that we have a need for life that's found in this book? Do you really believe that? Then the answers are found in God's revelation. This is why the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And this is what we want to do at Maranatha Baptist University. We want to lift up the word of God, because the word of God is the only place we have to turn for truth that transforms our thinking. And this is what he's saying in this verse. Be diligent in the word of God. Can I ask you a question? Are you lazy or apathetic or complacent with the Bible? Are you reading it? Are you studying it? Are you memorizing it? Are you meditating on the word of God? Is this a very important part of your life? I believe if we will build our lives on the foundation of God's truth, it's solid, it's secure. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said this, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house on what? The rock." That's stability. This is where real stability is found. It's not in just church going, just being an attender. It's not in just being religious and going through the culture of Christianity. Real stability is knowing God's word and obeying God's word. That's diligence in the truth of the word of God. And only Jesus can do this in our lives. We don't naturally want to follow God's ways. We need the power of Christ, His grace, His Spirit, enabling this kind of difference and this kind of diligence. So what can we be? Nothing without Christ, but with Christ we have incredible potential. We can be delivered, we can be dedicated, we can be different, we can be diligent. And notice the last part of verse 2, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know what this means? If we will be delivered and dedicated and different and diligent, then we will be, number 5, we will be discerning. I believe one of the things that is greatly missing in the Christian community today is discernment. It's the wisdom of God to make right choices with all of the cultural issues that are facing us every day. And I believe part of the reason why we are lacking in discernment is because, frankly, there's little dedication and little diligence and little difference from the world, and we struggle with the decisions of life, and we will be able to know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God in every area of our lives, if we will let the power of Christ flow through us. Now, this is a passage of Scripture that is clearly not talking about anything that is directly stated for us in the Bible. Question tonight, do you have to discern whether you should tell a lie or not? Yes or no? No, because it's clearly written down, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. Nobody has to discern whether you should tell a lie or not. You see what I'm saying? A direct command, something that is clearly written down, needs no discernment. You just either obey or disobey. So this verse is not talking about things that are clearly written down. Hold on, folks. You know what it is talking about? It's talking about multitudes of things that are not clearly revealed to us in the Word of God. In other words, you take Bible principles and Bible pictures and Bible stories, and you take all of the foundation that you get from the Bible and all of the Old Testament and the New Testament, some commands, some principles, some illustrations, you apply it to your life, you think biblically about life and about your families and about what's happening in the world, and you start to make decisions about all of these things that are not clearly stated down. Question, does God have a perfect will in those areas? Well, it says here that you may know His perfect will, that you may prove, literally, that you may test it. Now, I believe we need a generation of Christians, and frankly, a generation of young people who would learn how to take the Bible in its foundational principles and apply it to all of the debatable, divisive, cultural issues of our day so that they can make right decisions. You know what? Discernment will never come until we're delivered, dedicated, diligent, and different. And He literally says this, you will be discerning. You will be discerning. And folks, this is amazing potential that only Christ can bring out of our lives. Question tonight, is this potential being lived in your life? With Christ, you can do and be all things. Without Christ, you can do nothing. Are you a Christian tonight? Are you 100% confident that Jesus Christ is your Savior? If not, tonight you can be gloriously delivered from sin. If you're a Christian tonight and you know there's something sorely missing in your life, you're really not living for Jesus, you need to dedicate, you need to surrender, you need to sacrifice all for Him. Maybe there's little difference between you and the world. People wouldn't even know it if they met you. There needs to be a difference. Not conform to this world. Maybe there's a laziness and apathy to the Word of God, or a lack of discernment. What is the decision that God would like to bring into your life tonight? So what will we be? What can we be? Delivered, dedicated, different, diligent, and discerning. Folks, I believe if that's the kind of young people we send out into the world, we wouldn't be talking about having revival. We'd already be having revival. That's the kind of Christian we need in this world today. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? In just a moment, our choir will sing the final prayer, the final benediction. And then pastor will come and dismiss the service as he sees fit. But we want to take just a moment right now in this personal time of meditation and prayer to give you an opportunity right now to talk to the Lord. Maybe you're here tonight and you have never truly been born into God's family. The Bible says if you will call upon the name of the Lord and be saved, you can be saved. If you're a Christian, maybe there's an idol of your heart that needs to be cast out. Maybe you need to give God your entire life sacrificially, holy, in a living way. Right now, just talk to the Lord. Make a decision about the potential and the possibility that could be made in your life tonight through the power of Jesus Christ. In just a moment, after a time of meditation and prayer, I will pray, then our choir will sing a prayer, and then pastor will come and conclude the service tonight. Take a moment to talk to the Lord about what you've heard tonight.